Rock historian Ed Ward ran into Little Richard earlier this year at the South by Southwest Music Festival, and that, along with Sony's reissue of some of Richard's mid-60s sessions for OK Records, got Ed thinking about Little Richard's post-hits career.
I'm going downtown about rock and tag, gonna let my baby rock me all the way from here. She knows how to rock me. Yeah, she rock me. Wherever I've been rocking, you know just what I mean. Well, now my baby, she's getting kind of funny. She don't want to rock till I give her my money. She knows how to rock me.
In late 1957, Little Richard was coming off of a year-long string of hits like Tutti Frutti and Long Tall Sally, but he was in turmoil. A whole galaxy of confusing things seemed to be whirling around in his head, and late that year, he quit show business during a tour of Australia, in which he proved his sincerity by taking off a ring with a huge jewel in it and tossing it into Sydney Harbor. Some said he'd been unnerved by the Soviet satellite Sputnik, imagining it whizzing above his head as he flew to Australia for this tour. Others said he'd found God and was devoting his life to the ministry. Richard himself now claims he was so appalled by the treatment he'd gotten at the hands of his record label that he was going to go to business school. Whatever the case was, She Knows How to Rock, his last record cut before the tour, is awful, a mishmash of his previous stuff, clearly the product of an artist who'd hit a dead end. But Little Richard has never exactly been a shrinking violet, and it was hard for him to stay out of the spotlight. Maybe he needed money for school, but within a few months of renouncing his career, he was in New York cutting a deal with George Goldner's End label to record a couple albums worth of gospel music.
Yes, I'm going to walk that milky white way. Oh, child, one of these days.
One of these days.
Yes, I'm going to walk, my Lord, that milky white way. Lord, one of these days, well, I'm gonna walk up, Lord, taking my stand. Lord, I'm gonna join, Lord, that Christian band. That's when we walk that milky white way. Oh, child, one of these days.
White bread backup singers notwithstanding, this was a whole new Little Richard. Not through religion, gospel was always part of what he did, and he clearly got his trademark falsetto cry from Professor Alex Bradford. No, Richard was actually singing. The passion of his rock and roll delivery was there, but there was less shouting and more control. These gospel sides he cut are hard to find, but they're worth seeking out. Eventually, he made up with Specialty, his old record company, and cut some old-timey sides for them with titles like Annie Is Back and Bama Lama Bama Loo. Maybe it's the stereo recording, but he sounds better here, too. The trouble is, these records were cut in 1964, hot on the heels of the Beatles, and only one of them charted, and it only made it to a humiliating number 82. Actually, Richard's heart was elsewhere, in the gospel-drenched soul he was performing on the road, backed by a band that included young Jimi Hendrix.
I believe it's got me. You're not there.
I don't know what you got, but it's got me. Did even less well than Bama Lama Bama Lou, only making it to 95 on the charts. But what a great performance it is, all 4 minutes of it. And although that may be Jimi Hendrix you hear at the beginning, more likely it's Don Covey, who wrote the song and sings those amazing harmony vocals. Jimmy's in there, though, down in the mix. In 1967, Richard latched onto what looked like a good thing. Columbia Records had reactivated its OK label for soul music, and Johnny Guitar Watson and Larry Williams were detailed to put together a house band and sign some artists for what was going to be called the Angeltown Sound. While this was sort of like asking a couple of foxes to install air conditioning in the hen house, they did manage to sign Richard, and he cut two albums for them.
A little bit of something should be a whole lot of nothing, babe. A little bit of something should be a whole lot of nothing, babe. You better hold on to what you got, because what you think is nothing to someone else may be a lot.
Unfortunately, the material Larry Williams wrote for him wasn't so hot, although Richard put as much effort into it as he could, reaching some sort of weird peak with a passionate rendition of the theme song to Otto Preminger's film Hurry Sundown. The Angeltown Sound was dead on delivery, although he still cut a real good live greatest hits album with the house band before the whole enterprise collapsed. It would be three more years before Richard's career was rescued by producer Richard Perry, and that's another story. But listening to these Lost Years records by one of rock and roll's originals, it's clear that the years where he made his mark only saw him using a fraction of his talent, and I wish more of the stuff he recorded during this period would come out.
Ed Ward is a writer living in Berlin.